Thank you, Pastor Jones. Thank you. God has a way of speaking to us, doesn't he? To some of us, he has spoken already through music. To some of us, he has spoken to us through prayer. To some of us, he has spoken through a smile, a handshake already this morning. Amen? And God is wanting to speak to each one of us and reach our hearts and talk to us and let us know how much he loves us. Amen? And when I go back to scripture, to this beautiful scripture that was read by Sophia, I can only just think, wow, what an amazing God do we have. A God who was willing to leave everything behind for you and for me. We all know the story of Bethlehem, don't we? Story of shepherds, angels, Mary and Joseph. Jesus, the central figure, not only of this story, but of the entire Bible. And I believe this message is still relevant today. Amen? It only takes about 20 verses. But these 20 verses, I believe, have a message that will speak by God's grace to your heart and will speak to my heart. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to let you know how much he cares about you. And that he has the solution to all of our problems. Amen? So I'm going to invite you to just open your Bibles quickly with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to go through these verses. And we will see again the beautiful story of Bethlehem. In verse 1, I read, says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus." It tells us that Rome was in control. Rome was in power. "That all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." There's a reason why they had to be registered. Augustus Caesar needed money, taxes. And he wanted to know how many people were from Bethlehem. How many people were from Nazareth? How many people were from Jerusalem? That was his way of knowing how much to charge each one of these cities. So Joseph, being from Bethlehem, but living at that time in the city of Nazareth, in the region of Galilee, he went with his betrothed, soon-to-be wife, Mary. And Mary was pregnant. I don't know how many moms here have taken a long road trip while being pregnant. Not fun, is it? I know my mom would tell me that one time my dad decided he wanted to see his parents. His parents lived in the southern part of Mexico called Salina Cruz, Oaxaca. Okay? Southern part of Mexico. South of Mexico City. 12 hours south of Mexico City. And my parents were living at that time in Paterson, New Jersey. My mom was pregnant. I was about a year old. And they did that long road trip all the way to see my dad's parents. She tells me stories. I won't go into details. Mary was going to Bethlehem. She was also of the lineage of David. And they were going there to be registered. It doesn't say how many days it took them to get to Bethlehem. But they soon got there. And as they arrived, they saw many other people also with the same intention. They were there just to register. And the Bible tells us that as they came to the city, they found out that there was no room for them in the inn. When I read those words, no room. That's how Jesus' life on earth begins. No room for you. The creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, comes to planet earth and no room for you. And I find it ironic because Jesus, at the end of his ministry, he's telling his disciples right before his death, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's kingdom, there are many rooms. Some versions say there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. Mary and Joseph, what do we do now? I can only imagine Joseph's scene. Mary's about to give birth. Someone was kind enough to say, you can stay in our stable. We have a few animals there, but you should make it through the night and it should be warm enough and there's probably hay and if you want, you're welcome to take it. Joseph said, sure, we'll take it. It's better than staying outdoors under a tree. It's better. And the Bible tells us that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I don't know if you're from the same culture that I'm from. But in the Hispanic culture, when a baby is born, you make sure that baby's wrapped up well, okay? He's going to be warm. He's never going to be cold. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of the summer. Yes, moms have their baby. They're going to wrap that baby up. And the only thing you're going to see are those teeny little eyes, yes? The nose, that's it. So Mary did the same thing. She made sure Jesus was going to have a warm night. She wrapped him up in what she had and laid him in a manger. I was thinking of the word manger this morning. I told my wife, and for those of you who speak French, you'll understand this. You can see the word manger in manger. And this is where animals would come and eat their food. I believe it's called a trough, something like that. I'm still trying to pronounce it. Where animals feed. And this is where the King of Heaven was lying calmly, peacefully, his first day on planet Earth. Praise God for moms, amen? They'll make whatever little thing they have, they'll make it look like it's the greatest thing ever, amen? It's a palace. That was their palace. And she knew that this child was special, and she was going to do everything she could to make him feel well, to let him know how much she loved him, how much his father loved him. There were others that were supposed to know about this great event. But like many others, they were too busy with all the things that you just have to do, especially after this decree that Augustus Caesar sent out where everyone had to go and register. I can imagine everyone was just busy. The streets were busy. The businesses were busy. The priests were busy. And no one seemed to notice that the King of Heaven was born in the town of David, in the city of Bethlehem. I want to share the first slide with you. It's from Desire of Ages. Had the leaders in Israel been true to their trust, they might have shared the joy of heralding the birth of Jesus. But now, they are passed by. Those who had been entrusted the word of God were too busy with their own things, their own goals, their own ideas. And they were passed by. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 tells us, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And these same shepherds were studying. Hey, when is the Messiah to come? When? Well, what is the sign of his appearance? They were praying. They were searching the scriptures. And this next quote tells us what God basically does for all those of us who want to know, who want to seek him. God declares, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. To those who are seeking for light and who accept it with gladness, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine. Amen? These shepherds were seeking to know what times they were living in. And verse 9 tells us, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Would you be afraid? If somebody just comes into your room and lights up all the room up, would you be afraid? I would be afraid. I would say, wait a second, what are you doing? What's happening? And here they are in the midst of the field, light shining upon them, and they're startled going, what in the world is happening here? And this is when God, sending his angel, his messenger, speaks to these shepherds and tells them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Is that a message we hear in Scripture, brothers and sisters? Do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but I don't want to turn on the internet anymore. Amen? I mean, you just look at the news and you go, what? Can it get any worse? And God says in his word, do not be afraid. And he gives reason why we need not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Yes, this included the shepherds. Amen? This is a message for us. Yes, it is. And not just for you, but for all people. A message of joy. Good tidings. Do we need good tidings today, brothers and sisters? Does the world need good tidings? Do we have good tidings to share with the world? We do. The world needs good tidings of great joy. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. Wow! I could see the shepherds looking at each other going, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. Did you know anything about it? No, I didn't. Well, why isn't anybody saying anything about it? I don't know. They're talking to each other, figuring out, why doesn't anyone know? Why don't the religious leaders know about this? And here, we're being told, the Savior is born today. What else did they find out that evening? And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You will find what? A babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes. I don't know about you, but I believe that at that time I could see a lot of children being wrapped up. Yes? So that wasn't such a good sign. Which one? All of them seem to be bundled up. Moms are taking care of their children. But the scriptures tells us that the angel wanted to make sure they would know the sign. You will find them wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see, people had all these different expectations of the Messiah. He was someone who was supposed to come in power. He was someone who was supposed to come in glory. He was someone who came from the seed of David. They expected that everyone in town would know. The royal priests, Herod the king, would have all his dignitaries there to receive the Messiah. But the angel said, no, this Savior of the world, he's different. How many of you like to hear stories of people who started with nothing and ended with many things? We all do. But if you look at the story of Jesus, it's different. He came with little clothes to the world. And he ended up naked on a cross. He ended up with nothing. He started with a little, and he ended with nothing. And the angel wanted to make sure you understand. This is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I want to go to the next slide. Only the beauty of heavenly truth must draw those who would follow him. The character of the Messiah had long been foretold in prophecy, and he desired men to accept him upon the testimony of the Word of God. Jesus wanted his followers to follow him not because of the things he could give them. Jesus wanted his followers to follow him not because of the position or power they could receive. Jesus wanted his followers to follow him because they trusted the Word of God. They loved him above all things. And they would do anything to serve him and to serve others. The angel was clear in telling them, you will find him in this way. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. The Bible tells us that suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Can you imagine the whole sky lit up, all these angels singing, praising God? Would you call that good news too, brothers and sisters? I would call that good news. Peace on earth. Do we need peace on earth? Goodwill toward all men. Do we need goodwill toward all men? Amen. And this is possible when we give glory to God. I'm going to go to the next slide, at Steps to Christ. The Savior's life on earth was not a life of ease and devotion to himself, but he toiled with persistent, earnest, untiring effort for the salvation of lost mankind. From the manger to Calvary, he followed the path of self-denial and sought not to be released from arduous tasks, painful travels, and exhausting care and labor. Next. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This was the one great object of his life. Everything else was secondary and subservient. It was his meat and drink to do the will of God and to finish his work. Self and self-interest had no part in his labor. And we see that in Jesus, brothers and sisters. I can see it. I can see it. The Son of God coming to this earth to serve you and to serve me. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. How did they find him? Lying in a manger. Three times that word, lying in a manger. That was key for the shepherds to recognize the Messiah. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they saw this, they shared with them. They said, wow, this is exactly what the angel, the messenger of God, shared with us. We have found him. And all those who heard it marveled, and those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Where does God want us to keep all these things, brothers and sisters? In our hearts. I believe that those of you who seek the Lord, who study his scriptures, will not be deceived. Amen? I believe that those of you who ask God for understanding, God, show us, please, what times are we living in? What are these things that are happening around us? What are they telling us about your soon coming? I believe that God will reveal it to his children, just like he revealed it to the shepherds. And the invitation is like Mary to keep all these things in our heart and ponder them. Not just when we come here on Sabbath, but every day to take time to study the scriptures, to find out what is God telling us. I'm going to go to the next slide. Desire of Ages. Oh, that today the human family could recognize that song. The declaration then made, the note then struck, will swell to the close of time and resound to the ends of the earth. When the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, that song will be re-echoed by the voice of a great multitude. If I ask the question, who is that great multitude? What would you say, brothers and sisters? We are. That same song will be resounded, re-echoed, as the voice of many waters saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The story of Bethlehem is a story of love, isn't it? It's a story of a God who desires to reign with each one of his children. It's an invitation, I see, to seek God more than ever before, brothers and sisters. Amen? It's an invitation to share the good tidings to a world that does not know him. It's an invitation to tell people that God has gone to prepare a place for them. Amen? It's an invitation to know Jesus like never before. I want to know Jesus. I truly want to know him. I truly want to do his will. Do you want to know him? Do you want to do his will? The shepherds left that day, that site, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen? They left, glorifying God, praising him. Because God is true and faithful to his word. And what he has promised, he will fulfill. Amen? We're waiting for Jesus to come again, aren't we? Do you want to be ready? I want to be ready. I truly want to be ready. I want my church to be ready. I want my wife, Carolina, to be ready. I want my parents to be ready. I want my nephew and nieces to be ready. It's going to be great, brothers and sisters. It's going to be more beautiful than anything you've seen here on earth. It's going to be amazing. And the invitation is the same one that was done 2,000 years ago. Know Jesus. Invite him into your heart. He's the only way, the only one who can change us. Amen? He's the only one who can transform us. It's worth it. It's worth giving up everything that we have here on planet Earth. Amen? It's worth it. He thought it was worth it. He gave everything he had in heaven. The praise of angels, the praise of so many different celestial beings that he has created. And he thought you and I were worth it. Do we have a message to share today? We have a beautiful message. And I pray to God that he will find us faithful, that he will find us seeking him like never before, to his honor and to his glory. Amen. At this moment,